Welcome to this week's podcast from VIA. For more information, visit viafresno.com. Thanks for listening.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. For those who don't know me, my name is Joy. I usually hide behind the keys over there, which is one of my favorite spots on stage. No keys today because I'm here. So anyways, before I get into it, I wanted to thank the leadership. I want to thank Pastor Jordan and just the leadership of the church for allowing me to be up here. It's such an honor, such a privilege to be sharing with you guys, to be speaking with you all today. And I want to share a little bit more about myself. So besides the keys, starting this year, I've been doing a little more with VIA. I actually came alongside the leadership team to just get more involved. And it's been nothing but a crazy, wild, amazing experience. And honestly, allowed me to see why God moves so powerfully here at VIA. It truly is because there's a team of, talented, creative, driven, and in love with Jesus people who really are at his feet for this church. So it makes sense why it's so powerful here. But one of the things that I've, or some of the things that I've had the privilege of being involved with, one of them is CORE. For anyone who has taken CORE at any given point, yeah, a few of them. A specific shout out to CORE 47 or 48. Yes, they're over there somewhere. Another thing that I've got the chance to be involved with is VIA Friends. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go to the next step tent after and get plugged in. But specific shout out to Tuesday night VIA Friends group. If anyone's like, hey, they're right here. Sick. Almost done with the shout outs. But honestly, shout outs to all of you guys. Because honestly, VIA is it's an amazing community to be plugged in. And the love, the support that I just get from this family is just unreal. So I just want to thank every single one of you guys for making this this church what it is, all right? Shout outs down. Let's jump into it. So for all the note takers, the title of my sermon today will be Forgiveness, Can You Imagine? Forgiveness, Can You Imagine? And so forgiveness, comma, can you imagine, question mark. And for all the fans of Hamilton, you might get the reference, Hamilton the musical. For all the super fans of it, you definitely get the reference. Everybody else, it's okay. Jesus loves us too. So I'm going to be going, I'm going to be reading first from Genesis 45, 1 through 8. And here we go. And already apology, I have a lot to share, so we're gonna kind of sprint through it, but my man Alejandro told me to maybe slow down a little bit because there's no service after this, so you guys are stuck with me. Okay, here we go. So Genesis 45, 1 through 8. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him, but they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing, no reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household and ruler of all Egypt." So you guys have probably seen movies before. If not, let's talk at the end. But I assume you guys have seen some movies. And you know this thing when you watch a movie and you start it, and there's something epic that happens in the beginning. Like when the first few seconds, something crazy, like just action-packed, driven. And all of a sudden, there's a stop in the scene, and everything goes back to the beginning, to like 5 years earlier or a few years later. And that's a technique that's used because sometimes the story progresses too slow. So we're going to lose interest. But when there's a promise of something to come, we're like, okay, I'm going to hang around because I know there's that scene coming. I know there is something epic coming later. And so I kind of did that right now, and I hope it works. That part is actually going to be the climax of our story as we go through, where we're going to be pulling the most meat from. But in order for that to make sense and to fit in the context, we're going to have to go back to the beginning of the story, basically, okay? So we're going to be going from Genesis 37, 2 to 5, and we're going to be starting with Joseph, because that's the story that we're going to be tracking from the beginning of his story. And so here we go. This is the account of Jacob's family line. Joseph was a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and sons of Zilpah. His father's wives and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made an ornate robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told his brothers, they hated him all the more. So here we're in the beginning of Joseph's story. And for anyone not familiar with the story, I highly encourage you to go back and read through it after today, because I truly believe you're going to have a complete different perspective of the story and pull things that you didn't pull before. But anyways, this is the beginning of Joseph's story. He's a young boy, young man, 17, surrounded by his brothers, by his family, by his dad, and they hate him for reasons that are really out of his control, right? Because everything else that he does or says, it just says that they hate him more because of it. But they actually already hated him. And the main reason is because he was born to his dad in his old age. So his dad loved him a lot more than all his brothers. And so for reasons really that were completely outside of his control, he was hated from the get-go. And I want to start speaking into our lives as we move forward. So there's some of us that have been hurt, that have gone through hurt, at some point in our journey, and sometimes we have that conversation in our brain of trying to figure out, well, could I have done something different, or was it my fault, or could I have prevented it? And I just want to almost free someone from the get-go and let you know that hurt happening to you, kind of it's outside of your control. Because we live in a fallen world filled with broken people. And because of those two, hurt is going to get to you. And anyone sitting in a room today who has never been hurt, hey, prophecy, I don't know where you live, but in my world, there's a lot of hurt. And one of the reasons is because it is a fallen world. And it is because there's broken people. And because of that, it doesn't matter where you hide. It doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter who you surround yourself with. At some point, you're bound to be hurt. Okay? So let's establish that as a base. And that leads us to the second part, or the second point. And there's 7 points total, by the way, so you're going to know as we get close to the end. So the second one is the pain, for anyone taking notes. And I'm going to be reading from Genesis 39, just the first verse. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. So basically, we're in a point in the story in which Joseph's brothers hated him so much that they end up plotting to kill him, but that kind of fell through. So they end up selling him into slavery. So he ends up being bought by this guy who works for Pharaoh, and he ends up being alone. He ends up being betrayed. He ends up being lied on later on in the story, goes to prison. All these different things, again, for something that had absolutely nothing to do with him. There were consequences to that hurt that caused pain. And so this is another level, I guess, of freedom that I want to share with someone today. And we have this tendency, I guess just as human beings, but also as Christians sometimes, to feel bad for feeling bad, or to make people feel bad because they feel bad. Well, that's nonsense, because feeling pain when you're hurt makes you human. It doesn't make you weak. And so sometimes we have this habit of when we hurt, we want to hide it from other people, right? So nobody knows that we hurt. Nobody knows what's going through. Because if we show it, we're showing weakness. If we show it, but no, that just shows that you're human. And so I just want to free someone else right now who has been trying so hard, right? The Christian way. How you doing? Blessed. How you doing? Hey, highly favored. And we use these things really to hide our pain sometimes, and not to be honest. But I just want to let someone today know it's okay to be in pain. It's okay to feel pain because you were hurt, okay? So now let's go to the third point, and we're going to spend a little more time in this one. And basically, when we get to this point in our lives where we go through things, people do, have done, will do things to us that hurt us, we have two choices. One, we can choose unforgiveness, right? When we hold on to the pain. And two, forgiveness, when we let go of the pain, actually go through the hard part of healing. And Joseph's story progresses through the right path, so we're going to talk about that. But I want us to sit a little bit on the wrong path and see why we choose that, right? If we know better, quote unquote, but I actually think there are some very compelling reasons why sometimes we choose unforgiveness and choose to remain bitter instead of actually healing. One of the main reason, or one of the first reason, I think, is because we want to hurt the people who hurt us. Okay, I'm going to need a few honest people in the room today. You guys are way too quiet. I don't know if anyone else besides me, but there's been time where I've been hurt and I've wanted to hurt the people back. There's been time when I've been hurt and I've wanted to say something to them. And sometimes, I have to admit, sometimes I have said things to them. I have done things because I was hurt. Okay, just me. All right, you guys are all clean. Okay, fine. But I want to let you know that pain, the pain that causes you to get to that place fools us, because the reality is that we think that we're hurting those people who have hurt us when we don't forgive them. Subconsciously, we think that. But the reality is that you're hurting nobody else but yourself when you don't forgive. Because not forgiving and thinking that you're hurting other people, it's almost like, this is a beautiful analogy, it's almost like drinking poison and thinking that someone else is going to die from it. That's not how it works. If you drink poison, you're going to die from it. And so we hold on to it because we think we're punishing the people that have hurt us. But in reality, you're only punishing yourself. Another reason why I think we choose unforgiveness sometimes is because what the people did to us was not okay. And, oh, I wish I could spend more time on this, but the clock doesn't agree. You are right. What was done is not okay. And I want you to hear this. Whatever was done to you at any given point that has hurt you, that's created that pain that is in you, was not okay. What was done to Joseph was not okay. Surrounded by the people that were supposed to care for him, the people that were supposed to be his brothers to protect him, who end up hurting him, selling him away, wanting to kill him, that was not okay. But my question is, if that was not okay, why would you allow what was done to you to be done to you again and again and again and again? If what was said to you was not okay, why would you allow that to be said to you again and again and again and again? Because that's what you do when you don't forgive. You allow that to play again and again and again. You allow yourself to go under that, to feel that again and again and again. Another reason why I think that we choose unforgiveness sometimes is so that we don't get hurt again. And I've fallen into this trap, because we think when we don't forgive, we're tough. It builds this wall around us where we're cold. We're never going to get hurt again. But in reality, it only shows that you're protecting an open wound that is much more easily re-injured. So it's actually a testament of the fact that you are weak. You're not as strong as you think you are. And it helps us. We put that front because we're trying to protect those wounds to not get hurt again. And one of the last reasons why I think we choose that wrong path is because, if we're honest, it's much easier than to forgive. Oh, my goodness. Anyone in the room who has had to go through the process of forgiving anyone for something hard, it's hard. It's much more easier to stay angry, to stay bitter, to hold on to that pain. And because we need God to actually help us to forgive. We don't need God to be angry. We can do that by ourselves. I know some 5 years old that can hold a tantrum pretty well. But we need God to intervene when it comes to actually forgiving and letting go of that pain. And so that leads us to the next point, which is actually Joseph going through his journey, his processing all this, and actually, thank God, so we have a good example, picking the right path. And so the fourth step, or the fourth point, is the first step up the right path. And for this, I'm going to be reading from Genesis 40, 13 to 15. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon. So this is a part in the story in which, I mean, Joseph was bought as a slave, ends up working for this guy. He's doing a great job. He's a good worker. But then he also looks good because God's favor is on him, right? So the wife of his boss basically ends up wanting to sleep with him. And she's like, hey, Joseph, sleep with me. He's like, no, I cannot do this. I can do this to God. I can do this to my boss. And she ends up basically cornering him one day, stealing his coat, and saying that he tried to rape her. And so he ends up being thrown in jail for something that he didn't do. And in this is the part where we find him in the story as he's basically confiding in one of his inmates and telling him, yo, I'm not okay. Like, I was lied about. I don't deserve to be here. I don't know what I've done to be here. First of all, I don't know what I did to my brother ever to be sold in the first place. And he's being honest. And coming to circle back to what I said in the beginning, he wasn't saying, oh, you know what, things are bad, but it's okay. I'm a covenant child. I'm a descendant from Abraham. God is with me. He has favor with me. No. He was like, yo, I am hurting. Help me. Don't forget about me. Please tell someone about me because I'm struggling. And how many times have we not allowed the opportunity to be honest with God with how we're actually feeling? Because the reality is that the first step up on that path of healing and actually being able to forgive is to allow God into that hurt. And if we're honest, sometimes we don't do that because we don't trust that God knows what to do with our hurt. We really don't. And I was thinking about this. If I got shot today, right? Bullet, gun, boom, I'm shot on the leg or something. I wouldn't trust my best friend in the world to come and look at that wound. I know him, he's my best friend, whatever, but I'm not gonna let him near my wound because he doesn't know what to do. I'm not gonna let him poke in there and whatnot. But if a doctor walks in the room, I've never met a doctor a day in my life, I'm gonna be pleased, I'm gonna run to him because I trust that he knows what to do with that hurt. And if we're honest, sometimes we don't allow God near our wounds because we don't trust that he knows what to do with it. But I wanna tell someone today that he knows what to do with it. You have got to allow him because he knows exactly how to deal with that wound. He won't freak out. He won't push you away. You got to trust him. And sometimes we allow things near those wounds that don't know how to deal with it. Alcohol is not going to solve that wound. Addictions are not going to send. And even sometimes people well-meaning are not going to be able to help you with that wound. You only have to allow God next to you, next to that hurt, because he knows how to handle it. And you have got to trust them. And so the first step really is a trust issue that needs to be solved. You have to sit down and realize that you can trust God with your hurt, period. You can trust him with your hurt. And so the next part, once that first step happened, is to explore the purpose of why the hurt is in position in the first place. And so I'm going to be reading from Genesis 41, 39 to 46. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has made all this known to you, there is no one so discerning and wise as you. You shall be in charge of my whole palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater to you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride his chariot as his second in command, and people shouted before him, make way. Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift a hand or a foot in all of Egypt. Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paneah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt, Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. So this is what I want you to consider. Oh, also, this is a point in the story where, so the whole part in the prison where Joseph was talking to his inmate happened. And guess what? His inmate actually remembered him. So later on, Pharaoh, who's ruler of all Egypt, has a dream, messed up, nobody can interpret it. And this guy is like, yo, I was in prison. And there's this kid who knows this dream talk. Go get him. So long story short, Joseph is brought to Pharaoh and delivers, interprets the dream. And Pharaoh is like, you are wise. I want you to work for me. I want you to rule Egypt. And he becomes second in command, which is kind of the equivalent of prime minister, I guess, maybe. Don't quote me on that. But basically, Pharaoh tells him, and unless you say something, nothing can happen in the land of Egypt. And so overnight, he goes from being a prisoner to being a prime minister. And so this is something I want us to think about, right? Potiphar and his wife, who used to be Joseph's boss, never gets mentioned in the story again for the rest of it. Think about it, right? They wronged him, they threw him in jail, he didn't do anything. But the crazy part is that Potiphar's position actually required him to be in the palace. So there is no way that he never ran into Joseph again. So think with me on this, right? Think about that first day when Potiphar and his wife maybe walk into the palace court and Joseph is right there in front of them. And they have to say hi to him. They have to bow to him. Think about what Joseph could have done to them for what they did to him. And so as you think about this, at this point, the focus of it is really to show that unforgiveness plus that the throne that was given to Joseph would turn Joseph into a monster, not a savior of people. Because if Joseph hadn't allowed God to start working in his heart, to have a forgiven heart, he knew where they lived. He would have paid them back for what they did to him. And even if he never went to find him, just imagine him going on the street on his chariot, you know, no wheels, chariot, and he sees them walking down the street. What could he do to them? He could kill them, he could put them in jail. For everything that they did to him, he had power, he had authority, but never again in the story, you hear them coming back because he forgave them. And this is what I really want to drive home. There is a level of influence, I believe. Influence, anointing, power, just presence of God that he wants to manifest on this earth through us, through Christian. And he simply cannot allow us to access that until we have hearts that can forgive. Because we would turn into a bunch of monsters. That is a simple equation. You give power to someone who is hurt. And this is not just me. Science now. There's studies and studies that show this. People that are hurt can only hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. Because out of the abundance of your heart, you speak, you act, you give. And if all there is the hurt, all there is the pain, that's what's going to come out. Now imagine that multiplied by influence, by power, by all those blessings that you pray to God for. Imagine what that will do. So God simply is too loving and too caring for us and for other people to allow us to step into those blessings until our hearts can actually forgive. And so I want you to think about this next time you go to God and ask him for $1 million, okay? Well, let's move to the next point. So the next point, and we might spend some time here too, but it's called the process. And this is going to be 6. And so I'm going to be reading from Genesis 42, from 14 to 17. Joseph said to them, "It is just as I told you, you are spies. And this is how you'll be tested. As surely as Pharaoh lives, you will not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of your numbers to get your brother. The rest of you will be kept in prison so that your word may be tested to see if you are telling the truth. If you are not, then as surely as Pharaoh lives, you are spies." And he put them all in custody for 3 days. Okay, so yeah, we're going to have to give Joseph a little bit of grace. He was still working on forgiving his brothers. Because this is a point in the story in which, moving forward, he's been working for Pharaoh for some times already. And now there's famine everywhere in Egypt, all over the world known at the time, And so people come to Egypt to buy food, to buy grain. And lo and behold, his brothers also come to Egypt. And they actually get in front of him because he's the leader. So they go out to him, they have to bow to him, but they do not recognize him because he had that Egyptian swag going. And he was older too, and he was older, way older than before. So they bow to him, but Joseph ends up confusing them for a little bit and then throwing them in jail because, you know, he was still working on it. But how many of us know, like him, because he was able to let go fairly easily and forgive Potiphar and his wife, but he was a little harder with his brothers. And how many of us know, if we're honest, some things are a little easier to forgive than others. Some things, someone did something, whatever, forget about it. Next day, you're okay. But some things hurt so deeply, go so hard, cut so deep that it takes some time. And so what I want to emphasize here as we explore this point is that the point of this message is not to tell you, yo, forgive today anyone who hurt you and be okay tomorrow. No, that is not the point of this message because it takes time to heal. It's a process. The invitation that God is giving you today is to engage with him in a process, not to make anything happen today. Because God knows too well to expect you to forgive today and be okay tomorrow. He knows too well how much whatever happened to you hurts. He knows too well how deep those words cut, how deep those actions cut, to ask you to forgive today and be okay tomorrow. So I wanted to take that layer of guilt of whatever that you may be feeling. Oh my gosh, I haven't forgiven you, I need to do that today. No. But what I'm saying is don't stay stuck there forever. Take that first step and allow him into that pain. Be honest with where you are with that pain and allow him to walk you through it. But you're not expected to get over it overnight. No. No one is putting that expectation on you. Nobody. And the last point, point seven, where we obviously going to spend a good chunk of time, is the gift of forgiveness. And I'm going to be reading from Genesis 50, 15 to 20. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs that we did?" So they sent a word to Joseph saying, "Your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they committed in treating you so badly. Now please forgive the sins of the servants of God, your father, of the God of your father." When their message came to him, Joseph wept. His brothers then came and threw themselves before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." And so this is a point in the story in which Joseph actually brought his entire family to Egypt to live with him because times were just rough all over the place. And fast forward, Joseph's father died. So his brothers are spooked because they're like, yo, what if he decides now to pay us back for everything that we did to him, you know? That whole story. And so they go to him and they're like, please, like, dad said this. I don't know if it's true, but just forgive us, forgive us. And the crazy thing is that Joseph actually already forgave them before this passage. There's already a section of scripture where he weeps. And that's what we read in the beginning. Remember that epic part? Like, he already forgave them. But here we are in the point of the story. And I know so far we've been journeying in identifying ourselves with Joseph as the main character, but we actually fit better in the shoes of his brothers in the story. I know we're thinking, yes, I've been hurt and whatnot, but that equation that I gave in the beginning of fallen earth plus broken people equals hurt, we actually fit in that broken people part. There's people we've hurt. There's people for which we've caused that pain with our words, with our actions, with our silences sometimes, with the things that we didn't do. And so it's so easy to look at this story and be like, yo, yes, people have hurt me. Yes, I'm Joseph. But how many people have we contributing? Have we contributed to being a part of hurting them? And for all the people who are still sitting in a higher chair, they're like, I've never hurt anyone. I'm that Christian. Well, There's been a point in time where every single one of us in this room were saying no to Christ, were living in our own way, didn't want to have anything with God, and that sin that we lived in caused Jesus to have to be beaten, to have to be tortured in inhumane ways, and ultimately to have to lay down his life so we can be forgiven, so we can have a relationship with God, so we can receive forgiveness. And so, how many of us now identifying with Joseph's brothers can be honest about the fact that sometimes when it comes to forgiveness, the hardest part is not actually forgiving other people, it's forgiving ourselves. Because we know so well the things we've done. We know so well how many people we've hurt. We know so well how many people we've let down. We know so well how much when people look at us, they see this persona, but we know the real us. We know the things we're struggling with. We know the things we need help with, even when we don't say anything about them. And so sometimes it's so much harder to forgive ourselves. And I want to share a quick story as we wrap this up. So 2015, I believe, I've been in the U.S. for a couple of years already. And I believe I was a sophomore in college. And I get a call from back home. And my parents are splitting. And to you, you're like, ah, whatever. But to me, I'm like, growing up, they were the picture of that couple. You know, they were not perfect by any means, but that idea that I want to be like them if I ever have a couple. Like, they looked so solid. They always tried their best to impress Christian values on me, all the good stuff. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean they're splitting? And to give you a little bit of more context, growing up, as the firstborn, in my culture, you are basically a little Jesus. Like, you're right below the dad. So you're supposed to solve problems. You're supposed to know how to do everything. You're supposed to, like, literally, you're like groomed to be this person. So in my head, with that mindset, I'm like, oh, easy. I'm going to go home and I'm going to fix this. I'm going to talk some sense into them. You know, we're going to blow up the whole situation. So mind you, really thought this. So at the time, I'm a Brooklyn College student, right? I can't afford the ticket. I opened a GoFundMe. I think they're still around, but I opened a GoFundMe, and thank God I was a little popular on campus. Within a few weeks, I raised all the money, like even more. So I buy the tickets, everything, go home. And that trip was one of the most confusing, painful, sad experiences of my entire life. I've never heard so many different versions of a story that I just thought everybody was lying to me. Nobody just wanted me to know what the truth was. And so, long story short, I came back home defeated, didn't fix anything, might have made things worse. And there's just that sense of just like so angry with my parents, right? Just like, man, how could they do this to us? And to me, it wasn't even like angry because of what he did to me. I was fortunate. I was already like in my 20s at the time, I believe. And so I had been raised already with two parents. I was good. I was thinking about my brother who was 3 years old at the time. And he was not going to have to grow up without a mom and dad in the household. I was thinking about my five sisters at the time who, ranging from 15 to 11, 10 at a time, who were not going to have to grow up without a mom and a dad in the house. That's what I was angry about. But moving forward, I ended up letting go. I truly did. I ended up forgiving them. But for some reason, every time I spoke with them, to this day, something in me is triggered. Like, it just feels ugly and awful. And until I started getting ready for this sermon, and until I had a few talks during some core sessions, shout out again to core, I really didn't put my finger on what it was, because I was like, I know I'm forgiving them. And then God revealed to me that I was still blaming myself. I actually hadn't forgiven myself. And not only because I failed them, right? I wasn't able to fix things for my siblings, for my parents, but also because I truly believe in the back of my head that if I had never left home, they would have never split. Right? Because I had been here for 2 years and then it happened and I hadn't seen anything. So in my head, if I had just stayed put, Our whole family was still here today. And that just ate at me, right? And so as I'm working through this, God, I'm like, oh, that's it. I guess I need to forgive myself. God is like, yeah, you do. So I'm like, okay, how do I do that? And then here's the trip. You've probably read the Bible a lot more than me, and you've seen forgive because it's good. Forgive this many times. Forgive, forgive, forgive. Nowhere it says how to forgive. Prove me wrong. Find the text. Let me know. Maybe I haven't seen it yet. But nowhere it says this is how you forgive. Huh? Food for thought. So I go to TED Talks. Hey, they have the answer to everything, right? So I'm like, well, how does this thing actually work? Because I know it's good. And I go through a bunch of texts, and everybody, these are some practical things that may work, that may not work. This is why you should forgive, but no one really nails it. Like, this is how you forgive. And then I was in this time, in this intimate moment with God, and he's like, yo, this thing, there isn't a how-to because it's not for you to do. This is something you receive and extend. Did you know that forgiveness is actually not something that God asks you to do? But that he gives to you and then you extend? Did you know that to the extent of the revelation of forgiveness that God has given to you, then you can extend it to other people? And so, really, this whole sermon today is about letting you know that forgiveness isn't something that God is asking you to do, to work by your own effort, to find the strength to forgive people or yourself. It's something that you receive. And in the beginning, I said I was praying and asking God, and I truly believe that two things that he wants to free us from today is, one, I believe he wants to free us from the burden of unforgiveness, so actually impart healing to us. And two, I believe he wants to free us from the burden of trying to forgive in our own strength, because we're going to spend our entire life trying to do that and be on our deathbed and still trying, when it was always something that was meant to be received and extend. So let's get up. Sorry, I didn't really know how to smoothly change into that. So let's stand up, and we're going to get into a moment of praying. And so go ahead and close your eyes as we just usher God's presence in. And I just wanted to think of those places in your heart, wherever those might be, where you need to invite God in. And I want you to start sitting into the fact that you can actually trust them with those areas. I know you spend so much time hiding them from people, hiding them from people you're in relationships with, sometimes lying to yourself about them, but God not only is not afraid of those areas, but he wants them. He literally gave his son to show you how all in he is for this. So let him in. God, we just completely surrender to you today, and we just give you our hearts. And gosh, thank you that it's okay to be hurt in your presence, that it's okay to be hurting now still, that it's okay to be needing help now still, that it's okay to be needing that healing now still. But we just want to tell you, please come in. We say yes to you. We say yes to your healing. And we say yes to the plans that we have, that you have for us. Thank you for freedom. And thank you that you love us so much more that we can even fathom. And because of that, you're ready to change everything. Start changing everything today, in this very moment, if we just lean in and trust you. We accept your forgiveness today. And we say, let it flow through us so we can extend it as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to another powerful message from Via. If you'd like to learn more, visit our website or follow us on Instagram. If you'd like prayer or have a prayer request, please fill out the contact form on our site. You can also download our app on the App Store by searching Via Church. See you soon!